Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. No Scotty tonight or all week. Mike Carver and Brian Ciano, Carver High and Mafia, here with you all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. We are here for the next 2 hours, and we have a lot to do. We have a Super Bowl matchup. We have NBA tonight, college hoops tonight, NHL tonight. We've got a bunch of other stuff to do as well. Good evening, Mafia. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Anytime we get to come on here and talk to the fans, rip it up, talk sports, I'm always excited to do it. So much happening a lot over the weekend, so it's a great time to come on too for us. We had the title games. We had UFC 257. Your boy McGregor getting knocked out. It was awesome.
I can't wait to talk about him. At some point during the 2 hours, we will spend a couple of minutes talking about Conor, because I got to tell you, Mafia, I was very taken back by everything that went on with Conor McGregor all week. And that means the week leading up to the fight itself, and him talking after the fight. All of it really boggled my mind, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll do that at some point. Like I said, we've got games going on. Only one game in the NHL tonight, Vancouver and Ottawa. They are about to get going. Yes, Mafia, I have about 600 different power play point props going in that game, so we will keep our eyes on that. NBA, good one going right now. You didn't think it would be a good one, Maf. Lakers-Cavs in Cleveland right now, tied at 91 with about 10.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Lakers were, I believe, 10.5-point favorites, 11-point favorites, somewhere in that area. LeBron goes back to the land, Mafia, and the Cavs, who have been surprisingly good, except for last night when they got whacked by the Celtics, they are here to play tonight against the Lakers. Nice job by them, Mafia.
Terrible job there. I'm very surprised. They've been awesome on the road all year, the Lakers, so far this season. And, you know, that was one game that I thought that they'd come in there and blow them out. They're just doing whatever they want to anybody. We saw what they did to the Bucks on the road. And the Cavaliers haven't been good. I mean, they looked good last week because the Nets don't play defense. But that's just, you know, that reason. It's not because they're actually a good team that we have to worry about. It's just because the Nets can't stop anybody. So I'm surprised that the Lakers coming in here and LeBron come back to Cleveland haven't kind of taken more of a kill 'em approach here and, you know, to the throat. With them two playing, you figured it would have been an easy cover for the Lakers. But so far, Cleveland's hanging in it.
No, they're doing a nice job. Also tonight in the NBA, the Nets beat the Heat. I watched a lot of the second half, Mafia. It was 81-80. The Nets were up one. And it wasn't like a great defensive night. Both teams sucked. Nobody could hit a shot. It was embarrassing. And then all of a sudden at 81-80, the Nets went on like a 15-0 run and just completely iced the game. And this is, we'll talk about the Nets. This Mafia, for me, they play when they want to play. Let's be fair. I mean, you watch them, even since now, the three guys playing together, they play when they want to play, and they decided at 81-80 tonight, it was time to turn the gas on and let it go. That's how I think with the Nets.
Well, I mean, they always turn the gas on. It's all about if they can keep the other team from turning the gas on themselves. I mean, I said on Saturday when I was doing in-game live and they were playing the Heat, you know, it was like a 9.5, 10.5 point spread. I'm like, hey, jump on this, you know, when they were up big, because they're not going to stop the Heat. And the Heat have those guys that can shoot. They get back into this game, and they do. They make it a game. It was interesting. They ended up in the over because both teams just lighted up. Although they jacked that over up so high for this game, I couldn't believe you know, some people still climbing on that. I was not getting on it. They just got it too, you know, rich for my blood.
Yeah, 235.5 was the over-under tonight. Absolutely ridiculous. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell on the bench. Mike Carver, Brian Ciano, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Also elsewhere tonight, Mafia, Pacers beat the Raptors 129-114. Nice job by the Sixers with no Embiid, 119-104. They lose to the Pistons in Detroit. Magic beat the Hornets 117-108. We had another postponed game. This was a late one because I know we talked Pelicans-Spurs this afternoon on Coast to Coast. Both teams had some COVID issues. That game gets whacked. Lakers now up 5, 96-91. Nuggets and Mavs, 80-71. Denver leads Dallas. And at the half, the Celtics, who destroyed the Cavs last night, we talked about that before, a 60-50 lead over the Bulls. So a good Monday night in the NBA. We have college hoops as well. Texas Tech and Virginia Tech going on, West Virginia, I should say, going on right now. Virginia absolutely smoked Syracuse tonight, Moff. So we've got some of that to look at as well.
Yeah, that's something we obviously got to get into. You know, only people that forget about this sport until the NFL is over. Well, it's that time of the year now. And this is when it's, you know, heating up. Usually it's when the best was getting the best. You know, now we're not exactly to that point because of all the things that have been crazy with COVID, but now the games matter more, especially for some of these teams that have struggled early on or had games canceled, and, you know, you're probably not going to get those made up. So it's becoming a lot more feisty and a lot more, I think, necessary to win just about every game you can in February than it has in previous years.
This is the time when you need to start locking in on college basketball. Once the NFL ends and you need to start looking at these teams, starting to decide who are you going to back when we get to March, now is when you open the door and you start to do that. Pharrell on the bench on a Monday night. Mike Carver, Brian Ciano, we are with you for the next 2 hours. We'll get things going with the NFL and Championship Sunday in the books. Carver High and Mafia, the bench rolls on. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, right after this.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We are with you, of course. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. Welcome aboard. All right, Moff, let's get into these games from yesterday. Of course, we now have a matchup. We have the Kansas City Chiefs. We have the Tampa Bay Bucks. And we'll start with the first game. Bucks beat the Packers at Lambeau. Jump out to the lead, the miserable job that they did at the end of the first half, which was the turning point. I know that LaFleur made a dumb decision, the kicking is for losers decisions, which both losing coaches did yesterday. They both were guilty of kicking is for losers, and that is Matt LaFleur and Sean McDermott. They both deserve all the bad press that they get today for making those decisions. But I thought, Mafia, letting Scotty Miller get behind you at the end of that first half was really the inexcusable moment of that football game. And it's funny because we played the Wayne Larrivee highlight on Coast to Coast today with Keith Irizarry, and he referenced the Eli Manning, Hakeem Nicks, Hail Mary when Rodgers lost at home to the Giants that year. They were 14-2, 15-1, whatever the Packers were that year. And sure enough, that play came out to, you know, be the end of him that day. And I think the Scotty Miller play, more than anything, was what was really changed the course of Bucks Packers on Sunday afternoon.
Well, you can even go back before that, too, and not a play that was made necessarily. Well, it was made on the field, but the call that was not made by the refs in that game that really turned that game. Because right before that Scotty Miller touchdown, when they have an obvious hold on the third down right around midfield, would have given the Packers a first down, you know, right in the, I think somewhere in their, you know, the high 40s there, with all that time on the clock, they could have kept marching down, got at least a field goal, maybe set up a touchdown themselves. And the ref does not call it. You see the obvious hold of the, you know, the shoulder pad. They don't call it, and Tampa Bay gets a pick off that. Just a terrible call or non-call. Then, of course, they have the, you know, the fourth down. They get it. You know, they have the guts to go and do that. Tampa Bay does, and they get the first down. And then just, again, you know, as you pointed out, that play, you know, I don't know if you blame Pettine because he made a terrible call and doesn't have guys back, or you blame King because he knows that no one's back there and he lets the guy get behind him. But that was, as you said, a turning point because it puts them down double digits, and then it makes the whole course of the game a comeback for them instead of them just trying to keep pace. It changes how everything is played the rest of that game. You know, they're having trouble running the ball. You know, now they got to completely go, pretty much abandon it and go to the throw. It was just something that completely screwed up that game for them, and it stinks because it could have been a great game. But, you know, not only did that play screw it up, but the missed call before that when they had the third down and it's an obvious pull of the shoulder pads and the refs let it go. It just screwed everything up from there on out.
Yeah, I thought in both games, the refereeing, you know, the refs really let a lot go on both games. You know, I know things got out of hand late at the end of that Bill Chief game, but for the most part, in terms of holding, the DPIs, things like that, it felt like in both games there was almost a purpose to not call that much stuff. But then at the end of the Buck Packer game, of course, when the Bucks were trying to run out the clock, there was a key call, which I thought was a bad job there, because if you're going to call nothing all game, to call that one, I thought it was a little bit too much. But obviously, Mafia, the thing that everybody is pointing at today is LaFleur kicking the field goal down 8 late in the game, making it 5. Doesn't really, you know, I don't really get it. You just can't kick. Kicking field goals in the NFL today, it's just absolutely silly. But let's listen to LaFleur, Mafia, try to actually rationalize his decision. I don't think there is a rational decision, a rational reason why you could possibly do this. But let's listen to Matt LaFleur try to explain himself here.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI and it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it sure didn't, Coach. It didn't work out all right. You lost. You have Aaron Rodgers, who is going to be the MVP of the National Football League this year, an all-time great player who, unfortunately for him, still only has one Super Bowl appearance, period. And you have him in that spot. You have to absolutely let him try to tie the game. And you could tell Rodgers was upset by it too, Mafia. You know, he made that line about, well, when the 5 big guys come out, you know, that obviously means we're not going for it. You know, nice way of giving LaFleur the business there. But I thought it was just an absolutely gutless move by LaFleur. Kicking is for losers, and he showed it right there.
Yeah, absolutely was the wrong call there. And, you know, part of it is going to, you know, be put on him, obviously, because of the stop that they didn't get. Like, you thought he'd get that stop. I don't know why you believed in your defense. You're going against the greatest of all time. And, yes, you got a couple picks in the second half to get yourself back into that game. But the first half, you were getting torched by this guy. So are you really going to sit there and think that the guy with the most Super Bowl titles ever, the most Super Bowl appearances, the guy who, you know, has all these fourth quarter comebacks and wins is not going to finally come through? That this guy, you know, you're going to bank your job on this guy not getting it done when Peyton Manning, who was the other greatest of all time before this, like wouldn't even like let this guy get the ball. I mean, every other coach that has ever played Tom Brady has tried to play keep away from this guy, or at least make sure they are not down when he gets the ball in his last chance. And this guy, you know, rolled that dice. I mean, granted, if they don't call that PI, then we're, you know, having a different discussion today, I'm sure. You know, maybe they actually get the touchdown afterwards and, you know, they get the win and, you know, he gets by and we forget about it. But again, as you said, you know, they don't make that obvious call before the half in the first half. You know, they get the pick. Then they do make that call in the biggest play. It's like, you got to let it go if you're going to let him go all game, especially because then when you show the replay, I don't know if you noticed, Carver, but I sure as hell did, that Wirfs had his arm around the neck of the defender like he's giving a rear naked choke on UFC 257. So I don't, you're not going to call anything. Then if you're going to call it on that play, call it both ways, offsetting and give him another down to try it or something. Don't just completely change the game on that and end it on that play. But yeah, the risk is not worth it. Yeah, it was worth it. I mean, you can't sit back there and say, okay, we're going to trust that this guy can't get it done when he's gotten it done so many times before. And it's just not a guy who is aggressive, a guy who has Aaron Rodgers, as you said. You know, part of it's on Rodgers too, because if he runs that third down, as you mentioned on Coast to Coast earlier today, then maybe, you know, LaFleur's forced to go for it. Maybe he sees it as, you know, a fourth and one, fourth and two, instead of fourth and eight, and says, okay, let's go for it and put it in Aaron Rodgers' hands. But when you have 8-9 yards and you have open field in front of you and Rodgers decides not to run on third down, it makes it a little harder to make that call, but it still shouldn't have been that hard. He should have gone for it. That's what everyone, you know, besides maybe him and McDermott would have done.
And I do believe with one thing that Keith said today on Coast to Coast, you know, I think that Rodgers didn't run because he thought he had a fourth down. I think that's one of the reasons why he didn't run is because he thought he was going to get another crack at it and couldn't believe what happened with LaFleur coming on. And listen, this is all about LaFleur doing the kicking is for losers thing, and Rodgers played well, but, you know, and this is from the prop aspect of it, especially if you bet a lot of props in this game. You know, two guys who didn't do a lot, Mafia, was Adams and Jones, who are obviously the two big guys for the Packers. Adams missed the one touchdown. I know he caught a touchdown later on, but he missed that one in the first half that they ended up settling for a field goal on, which he always makes that play, and Adams missed it. Adams didn't have a great game. Aaron Jones didn't have a great game. And, you know, he found MVS a bunch. But I thought all in all, not a great game for the Green Bay offense. And now they will be home as the Bucs will be on to Tampa to host the Super Bowl. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get it involved. We keep it going. Sports Grid Radio, channel 204 on Sirius XM. A lot more to do. We keep rolling right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. Let me give you a quick runaround here. The Lakers have kind of pulled ahead of the Cavs. 110-104. Couple minutes left in that one. Could still get some live line action there. Lakers minus 5.5. Not bad if they can hit some free throws down the stretch. The Mavericks have come all the way back to take a lead on the Nuggets right now. 94-92. As they are in the fourth quarter, minus 2.5 for the Mavs on the live line. The Celtics, second night in a row, they are putting the beat down. Tonight it's on the Bulls, 74-52. That game is into the second half. Thunder and Blazers are underway. The Warriors are beating up on the teacups already, as Wetzel likes to call them. 27-11, the Warriors lead them. And hockey, Vancouver has just scored over Ottawa. So the Canucks take a 1-0 lead. We are looking for power plays and power play goals in that game, Mafia. That is what we want. We do not want even strength goals. We want power plays. And Texas Tech leads West Virginia right now, 59-51. That is in the second half, too. That is a good one in college hoops if you want to get involved there. So we talked about the Packers. They're done, finished. See you next year. We'll touch on Aaron Rodgers and maybe his future later because we've got some a really interesting quarterback situation, Mafia, that's going to be presenting itself in the NFL. But let's go to the other game now. And the Chiefs beat the Bills, my Buffalo Bills, as we know. And same story as LaFleur, Sean McDermott, kicking is for losers. And, man, he loved kicking yesterday, Maf. Jeez. I mean, every time he got down there. And what bothered me the most is that this guy was super aggressive all year long. Watched every snap. This guy was aggressive. And in years past, he was very conservative. It's almost like he went to analytical school in the offseason, Mafia, and got the charts and graphs right, and somebody said, no, you need to start going for fourth downs when you cross the 50. And McDermott did it all year. And for some reason, the moment got too big for him on Sunday, and he decided, let me put the chart away and go back to the conservativeness. And that's exactly what he did. And just an awful job by McDermott. And look, it's hard because the Chiefs are the Chiefs, all right? They are an absolute great, great football team. They are the defending Super Bowl champs. They have three Hall of Famers on offense who are impossible to stop. And their defense played their best game of the year. Diggs, Beasley, and Brown couldn't move an inch all day, Moff. They couldn't. They were on them. Great coverage by the Kansas City secondary. They blitzed Allen. He had nowhere to go with the football. And that's why he ran for 80-plus yards, because he was running for his life. He had nobody to throw to. But I thought McDermott, in the same class as LaFleur, kicking is for losers, Mafia. And when you're a team that it's already an uphill battle to beat that Chief team, you just hurt yourself more by kicking field goals. You just are.
See, I'm not going to put him in the same boat as LaFleur. I'm not going to give him the same heat, because for me, you know, I get why you don't want to kick the field goals again, especially against a team like Kansas City, who can just light up the scoreboard at will and obviously did. But, I mean, yes, later on, okay, don't do that. Earlier, you know, at the half, you're close. You know, maybe you go for it, but I get, you know, trying to get some points, keeping it kind of within the two scores. It doesn't really change anything, but, it, you know, still it gets some positives on the board for you, you know, when you are, you know, have a chance to be in this game. But I for me, the bigger thing in that game was, like you said, the defense for Kansas City was all world. They came out of nowhere. This is a defense that we've, you know, ripped for the last 2 years. For the most part, you know, outside of the Super Bowl last year, we were saying how bad the defense was, right? That it was all about the offense, and they're just going to outscore everybody. The defense doesn't stop anybody. Well, they shut the Bills down. I mean, even if you got 77 yards for Stephon Diggs this year, that's pretty much, you know, almost a shutout, because that guy is getting to 120 against everybody else. You know, to limit him to 10 yards a carry and, you know, no touchdowns, that just hasn't happened all year. So that defense was awesome, and obviously it makes it a little easier when you don't have to worry about a running game for the most part, except for Josh Allen. But they did a great job, and you got to give them credit for that. I thought it was going to be much more of a shootout all over the field by both quarterbacks and both teams. I was worried about the injuries to guys like Breland. I was worried about Mahomes' injury. I was worried about the backfield injuries for Kansas City. I was very surprised how they came out and, you know, were throwing, getting Hilaire involved, like, in a big way right away. I thought he was going to be kind of just there for show, and it's going to be more of Williams' show. But it wasn't, and they did what they needed to do, and they ran it up just like they do against just about everybody else, and they finally cover a game for the first time all year, pretty much, and it was a great performance by them. He should not have kicked. He should have gone for it, but I can't fault him too much either, because I don't think it would have made that much of a difference.
I don't know. I just feel like, especially the one before, there's two, the one before the half, and then the fourth and three from the eight, or whatever it was, in the second half. Those were the two that hurt. You're on the two-yard line. You've got a quarterback, and here's what they did. They did not do designed runs for Josh Allen yesterday. They did not. He had 80-plus yards rushing, and it was all on broken played scrambling. There was no designed Josh Allen runs by the Bill offense, and there should have been some when they got inside the 10-yard line. I couldn't understand some of the play calling. Dable's been great all year. He's coming back next year. He did a bad job in the red zone with the Bills yesterday. Bad job. That team was excellent scoring touchdowns all year. Credit to Kansas City D, but the play calling was very suspect down there. But it doesn't matter. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. And when their D is going to play that well, you're not going to beat them. You are not going to beat the Chiefs when their D plays that well, because they're scoring 30 points every game no matter what, as long as those three guys are healthy. That's it. They're scoring 30. And you just put yourself at a disadvantage. And I thought, McDermott did a bad job. Josh could have been a little bit better, but I thought he had nowhere to throw. Tough day. And it's hard because, especially if you're a fan of that team, you wait so long to get to that point. You wait 27 years to get there. And you just never know when you're getting back. And everybody says the same cliched stuff after the game last night. Ah, well, they're a young team on the rise, and they're going to be back. I mean, Mafia, we've seen this stuff. Just because you're in the title game doesn't mean that you're going to come back the next year. It doesn't happen all the time. I know the Packers just did it, but it doesn't happen a lot. And it's a hard road to get all the way back to this point, not just in the NFL, but in any sport. I always say this about teams that make it to the Stanley Cup final or make it to the World Series. It's so hard to get back to that point. You have to finish the job when you get there. And they just came up short. And they were never really in the game in the second half. They never got the score.
They weren't. I mean, even towards the end of the first half, it was just crazy. I mean, the thing for me, more so than Dable's play calling, obviously, you know, Josh Allen didn't get going like usual. He couldn't get those receivers free. But the bigger thing for me was, what was with the defensive calling? Leslie Frazier is another guy who's getting a lot of, you know, accolades this season as maybe another potential head coaching candidate, you know, going to get back after his, you know, mediocre years as a head coach before that. This is his kind of reinvention and people are going to be interested in him. And that has been a really good defense. And not that it's easy to stop those guys by any means, but they didn't do anything that, to me, that was, you know, oh, well, we didn't know this guy was going to be a big part of the game. Like, 9 catches in the first half by Travis Kelce. You know Travis Kelce is going to catch the ball like crazy. Like, you have Poyer, you have Hyde. Like, maybe throw one of those guys on him all the time. All the zones they were doing there, this guy was finding the empty spaces, and I couldn't believe they weren't more locked in on him.
But to be fair, and Romo actually did a good job of this, and Romo's been crazy the last few weeks with the screaming and the yelling, but Romo actually did a really good job during the game explaining what the Bills were doing on D, because it was kind of a hybrid of what they did in the Week 6 loss, which is death by 1,000 paper cuts. We're going to drop 7 guys back, and we're going to let you run the ball. But they left the middle open, and you're right, Mafia. Kelce had a billion catches in the first half, but they were kind of letting him get those catches and letting him get those 10, 11 yards over the middle because they didn't want Hill or Hardman to beat them deep. And then when they started creeping those guys up just a little bit, boom, Hill springs for 50. Boom, Hill springs for 25, 30. It was like, it was pick your poison. And when those three guys are at such a high level like they were, it's hard, man. It is. It's hard. They are a very tough team to stop when they are at full throttle. And the injury talk was so overblown all week. All these guys were healthy. All of them played great. Mahomes was great. Who else? Hilaire. No, he wasn't that big of in the game, but Breland was fine. All the injuries was such way overblown talk by the Chiefs all week long, Mafia. It just was.
Yeah, it certainly seemed that way. The way that everyone was talking was that these guys were so banged up and, you know, almost like they were saying how they couldn't field a roster of guys. And meanwhile, like you said, everybody was back, everybody factored in, and, you know, Breland was a shutdown quarter in that game, and Mahomes just, you know, I don't know if they cut the toe off or he just forgot it was there, was so high he didn't notice, but you're like, well, they went had him in the tent the week before on this toe, and, you know, people were talking about, oh man, this is really gonna affect him. I mean, the guy had no issue whatsoever doing whatever he wanted. It was like he never got hit the week before, like he never had the toe, like, you know, it was like he was starting over a fresh season. I don't know, the guy was just so, you know, physically better than everybody else despite all these alleged injuries he had.
The Lakers do win, Mafia, but they do not cover. 115 to 108, they win in Cleveland. Nice homecoming for LeBron. He drops 46 on the Cavs tonight. So that was a nice over. That was a good one to play tonight. LeBron going back to Cleveland. AD had the big night against the Bulls on Saturday. You figured LeBron was waiting to get back to Cleveland. I think it was 25.5 or 26.5 tonight for LeBron. He smokes that with a big 46 spot. And the Nuggets have now pulled back ahead, 102-97 over the Mavs. Celtics continue to blow out the Bulls. Warriors doing a good job on the Timberwolves, and the Thunder up 10 over the Blazers, Mav. So a nice job by LeBron tonight and the Lakers. So they continue to stay undefeated on the road. The Canucks have added a goal. They're up 2-0 on Ottawa tonight. I need power plays, Mafia. This is not doing it for me. I need power plays. We don't care about even strength goals. We want power play goals. Let's go here. I'll try to explain that to you later, Mafia, what I've been diving into with the power play point props.
I mean, that makes sense. I figured two bad teams, you figure there's going to be a lot of penalties, right? Because both those teams are struggling so far.
Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Sirius XM 204, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling after this.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
are back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We are rolling, of course, Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. Good to have everybody aboard tonight. Mafia, Texas Tech, and not so much pulling away. West Virginia making a bit of a run here, 69-61 now, 71-61. So Texas Tech now leads by 10 over the Mountaineers. Oklahoma State, no Cade Cunningham tonight. Second game in a row he has missed, 63-52. They lead Iowa State. That was a very short line tonight. I believe it was one or two by tip-off with no Cunningham in here. And UNLV, the Rebs, up 7 over Utah State, who has been very good so far in the Mountain West, 50-43 in the second half. Mafia, let's go to the phones, my friend. How about Joe from Florida? Joe, my man, welcome aboard the bench. How are you?
What's up, man? You're in the big chair tonight. I love it. I got three things. I'll go as quick as I can, but I think a lot of people are missing some stuff here. And first of all, if Aaron Rodgers on the third down play, I'm sure you've seen the pictures. If he takes the beeline and goes straight to the corner, to the pylon, there's really no way in hell he doesn't score. If you just look at the angle, you look at the players. And actually, the two players were guarding on defense, he could have turned around and blocked them. So that's screwy there. My second thing is Kevin King is getting a pass. He got destroyed on the Evans touchdown. He got destroyed, obviously, with the Miller play, which was just disgusting. And he grabbed the player at the end and pulls his shirt 2 feet and holds it for 2 seconds. Now, if he doesn't do that, they don't make the call. If he pulls it quick and lets it go, they don't make the call. He gave the referees no choice but to make the call. So and not only that, LaFleur trusted his team and he trusted his defense to make a play, and they failed. The next play, the first run to the left, they got 9 yards. So the Green Bay was just terrible on so many aspects, not to mention Adams dropped that ball in the end zone wide open for a touchdown in the first quarter.
Awful drop.
So you can't blame the coach all the time. These players got to make a play. Love you guys.
Joe, you're the man. Thank you so much for calling. And you make tremendous points. And I agree with you on all of it. Look, I know it's not all on the coach. It's not all on the coach because there was a lot of players. And King, you brought up, man, what a hack he was on Sunday. King was absolutely awful for the Packers. That's the kind of game, Mafia, where you never want to see. If you're a fan of that team, you never want to see that guy in your uniform again. That's how bad he was. Evans touchdown, Miller touchdown, penalty. That's the hat trick that King had on Sunday. He was absolutely brutal. And you're right, Joe, too, about Rodgers. He needs to run. He got to run there on third down. He needs to run. That's a play where you could score. What's the worst that happens? You get stopped at the 2, the 3, the 1, and you got fourth down. And then you're giving LaFleur even more reason to go for it. And you get a little closer. So he was right about King. King was such a hack on Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. You know, after that game, I tweeted out that Rodgers had, you know, a game and it was taken away from him by the refs, his coach, and by King. I mean, King got beaten like a Neil Peart drum kit. You know, they just were going after that guy every time, it seemed like, because every time they did, he made some stupid play or some bad play and just got lit up by Tom Brady and that offense. And that was a big part. You know, as you said, the 2 touchdowns and the big play on the PI. Again, as we said before, if you're not going to call that all game, if you're not going to call that on the interception before the half, then you shouldn't have called it there, but they do, and that's what it is, what it is. You know, the refs are doing their jobs, but they just decided not to do it the whole game. So it isn't all on that one decision. And even then, he was aggressive before. That's the more, you know, conundrum thing about this. The more confusing part is that he was aggressive before. He went for the 2-point conversion. And St. Brown dropped it. The ball, you know, talk about balls right in your hand in the end zone. The guy dropped. Well, he had the 2-point conversion right in his hands in 2 hands that would have made it a 3-point game. And he drops it to, you know, put them back there and keep them down. So that hurt them as well and made things different. But it's just it's a tough thing all around. And of course, I was holding a prop bet on Aaron Rodgers anytime touchdown. So I was even more furious he didn't try to run for that touchdown there. But I give credence to the point that Keith made. I think it was a good point that he made on Coast to Coast today that. That guy was sacked and pressured so many times by those ends and where he tried to get away and they get a hold of him that you know, he's not sure which guy it is behind him. So maybe he did feel that. Maybe that he knew that presence was there and thought that he might have gotten caught and said, okay, let me just try to make the throw and force it in there because, you know, he trusts the arm. I could give a little credence to that, but he is Aaron Rodgers, and he has run the ball his whole career, so you think he should have. You know, if it's Breeze, if it's Brady, if it's Rivers, if it's, you know, maybe even Big Ben at this point, you say, yeah, no way you run that ball. Your legs are not getting you to the end zone. But Aaron Rodgers can still, you know, get the wheels going.
Yeah, I thought he should have ran. I really thought he should have ran. That's a tough spot.
I thought that before I saw the replay where you see all the daylight. When you know, you're just seeing the plays that happens, like, run the ball. And then you see from the other angle, like, wow, really? Now I see what you're seeing. I don't know what you were thinking.
That was tough. That's just one of those. There was a lot of things. Listen, this, I know LaFleur gets a lot of the gas here, and we gave it to him a lot at the start of this show. But there were a lot of culprits in that Packer loss on Sunday. King was one of them. You know, St. Brown dropping that ball. I mean, my guy from ND, just he writing in numbers, and he couldn't pick up that two-point conversion. But it is what it is. Here's the bottom line, Mafia. The Packers are done. They're out. The Bills are done. They're out. We got one more football game left this year. And now this is like this is the toughest haul. Like the 2 weeks when you're waiting for the Super Bowl to happen. It's just, I mean, by the time we get to like later this week or early next week, you're like, let's play the game already. And today we're excited because we finally have the matchup. We know who's going to be in the Super Bowl, but it's very hard, Mafia, to keep this kind of intensity level about the game when you've got two whole weeks to sit on it and analyze it and scrutinize and just go through all the little things that you want to see happen in this football game. But I do think, Maf, this is going to be a fun game. You have got the GOAT, Tom Brady, 10th Super Bowl, the whole deal, against the guy who right now is the absolute best player in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. This is a television dream. The executives love seeing this. They're going to get a monster rating for this Super Bowl. CBS has to be thrilled, and it's going to be fun. I can't stand Brady. I don't want to see him win again. My team just lost to the Chiefs. I don't want to see them win either. I think the line is appropriate, Mafia, at 3. I don't think I'm going to bet this game at 3. I'll play a billion props, but I'm not going to bet the game at 3. If this thing ever got to 3.5, I think I could splash Tampa. If it ever got to 2.5, which, trust me, guys, it's never getting to 2.5. If it ever got there, I would absolutely jump all over the Chiefs. But I think the line is probably fair at 3, Muff.
I think that's fair the way that these two teams played. I mean, both of them are sitting around 3 for the game they just played. So it makes sense. And now, you know, in the same kind of boat, they're at that same spot here. And, of course, I'm sure it's going to change as we get to the, you know, closer to the game, because FanDuel loves that extra hook. As you and I know, doing the in-game live, they love that hook. They do not want pushes. They want wins or losses. So I think that's going to change as we get closer. But it's going to be a great game, and it should be. And, you know, I think one thing that I had that jumps out to me is, you know, seeing the numbers that have come out, which obviously, you know, they're just a preliminary. But obviously everyone's going crazy because of the games they just played and the points they just put up, that the 56.5, honestly, to me, that, given that we just saw great performances by both defenses, that might be high. And, you know, I think everybody's going to start hammering that over still because of the numbers they put up. And, you know, we might see that climb even higher. And if we do, then I'm even more, you know, shading towards the under. And we'll see how that goes as the 2 weeks go on. But I'm with you. It is the toughest kind of 2 weeks here, because normally on a week-to-week basis, especially in the playoffs, you know, the first day after and maybe the Tuesday as well, you talk about the games that just happened. You break them down. You know, we rip the coaches for the bad decisions or the quarterbacks for the misplays or this or that. And then as you get to Wednesday, it's like, all right, now where do we stand? Where do, you know, who's injured? How are they progressing? Are they practicing? Thursday and Friday, we're getting hyped. We're talking about the game. We're previewing it. And then you get the game. This one, it's like you get those first 2 days and it's like, oh, wait, now we got to wait a week to do what we were supposed to be doing now. So you kind of get no man's land for a couple days here. And, you know, it stinks. If there was ever a year that the NFL could have just gotten away with the bye week and said, forget it, because you don't have all the parties, you don't have all the stuff around the Super Bowl, it's just two teams going to Tampa and that's it. Like, this would be perfect. Just give us the game. But of course, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, this is a completely virtual situation. In fact, Mafia, like, the Chiefs aren't even, they're going to Tampa like on a normal travel week. Like, they're going next Saturday, like the day before the game. They're going like it's a normal road game, whereas normally you're in the Super Bowl city for an entire week. You have the dopey, what's it called? you know, the media night where they have them all out there and you have 6 billion reporters from every paper and television station in the world asking them silly questions. You don't get that this year. Well, you're going to get it, but virtually, whatever, you know, however that's going to go. You're not going to have all that hype and the buzz in the city the entire week. And what really takes away from it is you would have had such a unique situation with the home team being in the Super Bowl city this year. And you're not going to get any of that pomp and circumstance because nobody's going. Everything's going to be virtual. There are going to be some fans there. And I'm sure Tampa, you know, next week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, especially since it's in Florida, is going to be a jumping situation. But it's definitely not going to have the same feel. And Mafi, I think that a lot will be made, and you'll hear a lot about the first game between these two. Because what did we do all week this week? We talked about these four teams that just played, how they both faced each other in week 6. Well, the Chiefs and the Bucks faced each other this year on Thanksgiving weekend, and the Chiefs whacked them. Don't go by the score. Don't go by 27-24. They whacked them, and the Chiefs let off the gas in the fourth quarter. It was 27-10. Mahomes threw for 460 yards. Hill had 260 yards receiving. They absolutely torched Tampa Bay that day. And you know, I know when we kind of throw away the results earlier in the year, whatever, that's got to be in Tampa's mind, Mafia.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, this is a team that when they were playing the Saints for the third time, we're talking about those games and how they need to do things different. And, you know, we brought it up, like you said, with Green Bay and Tampa. And, well, this is what we did. And this is, you know, all the game plans are always analyzed and overanalyzed when you've already played each other. Well, how do you do this? Because, you know, you have the tape. This is a situation where, you know, oftentimes you have two teams that didn't play each other that year because of them being in the different conferences. This case, we do. So, of course, people are going to be crazy about that, especially because we have the extra week of nothing to do. So we're just going to analyze that game, and I'm sure we'll see, you know, all these video game breakdowns of it, and we'll see, you know, well, this is how it could have. This might play Mike this way, or they might run their offense this way. You know, all these analytics and all the stuff, it's going to be heightened because of, you know, not having anything to do for the next week and having to analyze this game 10,000 ways.
And there's one thing you always have to fall back on when it comes to Tom Brady and the Super Bowls. There's just one thing they're always good games. Like, there is never a blowout in any of these, even though the Patriots are so good and they've won so much and Tom Brady's been in all these games, all of the games seem to be down to the wire, especially the ones over the last 10 to 15 years, the ones they've lost, the ones they've won. So that's the one thing you have to take into mind. These Brady Super Bowl games are usually late fourth quarter, one possession games, and it's a lot of fun. And I hope we do get that in a couple weeks. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week, 844-843-6879. We are rolling on Sirius XM, channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. We keep it going right after this. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty Pharrell, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Mafia, you were mentioning West Virginia has really made it a game against Texas Tech. It's now 82-75, Tech leads just about 4 minutes to go in the second half. So getting down to the end there, good game. UNLV holding on to a 57-53 lead over Utah State. Did Oklahoma State close that out? They did. They won by 20. Jeez, 81-60. The Cowboys get it done without Cade Cunningham tonight. And there wasn't too much else, Mafia, in terms of heavies. Syracuse got absolutely whacked by Virginia, 81-58. Everything else pretty much small schools. But this is a good one, Mafia, between Tech and the Mountaineers coming down to the end.
Yeah, you know, usually Mondays are kind of the off day. You get a couple games here or there, but it's always, you know what, Wednesdays and Saturdays are the big ones, and then some trickle over Sunday. But then again, it is COVID season, so who knows how what the big days are, because so many guys are, you know, games are getting rescheduled on the fly or games are canceled, and you're playing non-conference opponents all of a sudden in January and February because your conference is all booked up except for the team you're supposed to play who's out for the next 5 games. It's just a wacky season, man. I'm surprised, you know, some of these teams, it's hard to bet them because you don't know, just like the NBA, who's playing. You know, like you said, Cade Cunningham out today. and you know, more so, like, how they're going to play. How do these kids get ready for it? I've talked about this before doing shows. You know, how do you get ready all season? You know, when you don't know, you get up for a game and then all of a sudden, you know, 4 hours before the game time, it's canceled. Or, you know, you don't have a game and all of a sudden, 24 hours beforehand, okay, now we're going to play this team who we have no tape on and can't scout. It's just a wacky season for everyone.
Yeah, it's very bizarre, very strange. That's for sure. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, Ed Mafia, in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling on the bench. Hour number two right after this.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.